Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to the program. My name's Kerry Stevenson, and today I am delighted to welcome Christopher Gattison, who is the CEO of Nova Minerals. Nova Minerals have been doing a lot of work recently, all up in Alaska at their Estelle Gold Project. Now, Alaska's been in the news a little bit lately. Lots of gold being found up there. Christopher, welcome to the program.
Nice to be with you today, Kerry. Thanks for having me.
Now, you are in Palmer, Alaska, which is about 40 miles north of Anchorage. Isn't technology great that we can chat to each other? Listen, Christopher, tell us a little bit about Nova.
Right. So to introduce your listeners here briefly, last year is when we commenced real field work out there at Estelle, and we managed to define, we were really testing a concept, and what we actually did, it went above and beyond even our wildest expectations. We managed to define a 2.5 million ounce inferred resource. And so based on that, we really decided to gear up and ramp things up and go to a full start, really resource drill out, which is what we're doing right now. And so over the course of last winter, we put a snow road in to establish a permanent camp. The reason for that is that now we can operate year round, right? We have our, we have that base camp, we can operate year round. And so around April, May, we commenced this 25,000 meter drilling program. And we're about halfway through that right now in terms of the drilling. And so we've already released some results, and that's actually a bit of a bottleneck for us, is getting results back. You know, with the whole COVID thing going on, the lab is really what's holding us up in terms of releasing more results, because you know they have to space their workers and only have so many shifts and this and that. So that's really the holdback there. But nevertheless, we're drilling on, and it's not holding us back. It's just really the lab. And so what we want to do is, in terms of releasing the final resource, that set things back quite a little bit. And we intend to release the final resource that incorporates all the drilling by December this year. But in the meantime, we have about 12 or 15 holes out of a 48 hole drilling program. And we're going to do an interim resource update and provide that to the market. It's really to see how we're tracking target some of the drill holes, tweak things a little bit, but we plan to release that around the end of August. And that's only really targeting, like I said, 12 holes. It's only really going to have new additional data in one small portion we call Block B in the starter pit area. But it'll be good to see, and we'll be reporting that to the market. So as I said, the final resource will be coming out in December, and we expect to be able to significantly increase on that 2.5 million ounces. We think we can get into the 5 million ounce range by the way things are shaping up. You know, it's really about tons. Tons are king with these style of intrusive related gold systems, Kerry. And we're already seeing with the results that we've seen that we're extending the mineralization 100 meters beyond the current resource model. And so capturing a lot more tons, a lot more volume. Because with these intrusive related gold systems, you know, they're very, very large systems, 20, 30 year mine life. Our mineralization starts right on the surface, heap leachable operations. And what that allows you to do is have very low capex, very, very low operating cost. And so very low grade material becomes quite economic. And what that means is a very low strip ratio approaching zero, really. So everything you dig up is economic. As I said, if in the Tintina Gold Province, this is the province for those styles of deposits. People might look at the Fort Knox mine, Kinross's Fort Knox mine, or Dublin Gulch, which recently started out on the Yukon side of the Tintina Gold Province. These are some of the most profitable mines in the world, right? $600 to $800 production cost. So very, very exciting. And that's at our Corbell deposit, right? That's our Corbell deposit. This is only one of 15 other prospects we have, and we're advancing across our 220 square kilometer claim block out there at Estelle. And so we're focused on Corbell right now to get this resource out. But in addition to that, and we hope to start that work here potentially before the snow sets in, is to start to go to some of these outer line prospects, namely the RPM prospect, where we have a historical drill hole there of over 100 meters at a gram per ton, which we plan to follow up. So we're unlocking a district, really. The center of the operation will be at Corbell, and then these other prospects, there'll be a pipeline of projects that'll feed into that. And that's how you can start to see, 20, 30 plus year mine life.
Christopher, that was a really good overview, and thank you for that. But Nova Minerals seems to have flown a little bit under the radar for a while now, so I appreciate you talking to us today. How did you come across these projects, and why this particular area? As I said earlier, there's a lot of Australians going up there. I know that Northern Star, are they close by to you? Because they're doing a lot of work in Alaska at the moment as well. But how did you come across these projects?
Right. So, they're under the radar a little bit because generally the Australian market, they're just learning about these intrusive related gold systems. And, Australian market, they're typical, say the Archean, for example, where you have those narrow structures, very high grade. These are much different style deposits. They're very large, very long year mine life, as I mentioned. You mentioned Pogo, Northern Star. We actually call it the Australian invasion. So people are taking note. It's called the Australian invasion. Last year, over 50% of the investment in exploration and mining was actually by Australian mining companies. And we see that set to increase this year significantly. They're starting to catch on. Certainly the companies are, or the smart money, as they say, is catching on. And it's the Tintina Gold Province. You have a number of Australian companies. You have Pogo, which is Northern Star. You have a number of other smaller explorers that are just too numerous to mention at this stage. And what Pogo's doing is they're on an intrusive related gold system, and they're mining underground in one of these higher grade structures, which you do see internally in these massive ore bodies. And to put it in perspective, Pogo mines, and they're going underground on some of these higher grade structures, producing at about $1,200 to $1,300 per ounce. Whereas the large open pit heap leach mines on the surface, which is what we're starting to get into, is like I said, $600 to $800 production. To compare, Pogo and Northern Star mining at an 8 gram per ton head grade, whereas Fort Knox, similar to what we're looking at, is mining at about 0.3. So 8 grams versus 0.3, and you can see the production cost very different, much more profitable with these heap leach operations. In the Tintina Gold Province, over 220 million ounces documented in terms of production and exploration resources in the past few decades. One of the hottest belts in the world. The companies are certainly catching on. The retail market is starting to get it on their radar, and that's why we're here talking to you today, Carrie.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate that. And I've got so many questions coming out of my head at the moment. You recently did a capital raising. That money is going, I assume, into this ongoing drilling program. And what are the next steps for you? You've outlined some of it. You've got enough cash in the bank to finish and finalize that drill program. How are you set for that?
Yes, certainly. So we're cashed up, really. We just did that raise, and that was a kind of a gap funding to get us to the end of August, because at the end of August we have some options that expiring, and they're slowly starting to be converted actually quickly now. And so we'll be cashed up. We have $12 or $14 million coming in from that alone. So, and all the money that we're spending right now is going into the ground, right? Going into the ground in our operation at Estelle currently, sitting very good with that. Next steps, as I said, this interim resource, which we'll release here in the coming weeks and month. Then the final resource in December, as I mentioned, but also once that December resource comes in, we're on the path to production. We're looking to keep, with our permanent camp and our infrastructure established, we'll be able to continue drilling through the winter, this winter, and into the years to come. We're looking at a 2023-2024 time frame for a decision of mine. Now, before we get there, a lot of work to be completed. What we'll be doing with this final resource comes out, we'll be starting our preliminary feasibility studies. That'll include, the typical economic studies, mining studies, but also metallurgical test work. We've already done some preliminary metallurgical test work, and our recoveries are just exceptional. 76% recovery, just run of mine, early stage test work. That's really significant compared to our peers. I mentioned Kinross and Dublin Gulch. These guys are mining at 55 to 60% recovery. Yeah. And so 76% recovery, that's just first pass. Once we optimize our leach solutions and look at more detailed studies, we'll be able to improve on that. Also, ore sorting. Technology with ore sorting has come a long way in the recent years. And so we are using that ore sorting at another lithium project we have in Manitoba, and the same consultant that's working on that has looked at our ore here and said, yeah, this is the perfect stuff to do the type of ore sorting that you need to do to significantly upgrade the ore as well when you come to mining. So we'll be looking at that. In addition, I should mention, in terms of power and access,
those are always— I was just about to ask that, actually, Christopher, because it's Alaska, so there's, right. You know, it's a very— it can be a wild and unforgiving land. What sort of access have you got? Is it difficult to get to your project?
Not really. We have a beautiful— at this stage, we have a beautiful, very large airstrip there. We bring in large DC-3s type aircraft to support the project. Our camp is sitting right there, so permanent camp that can operate year round. But for the future, when we start mining, we're going to want road access. So currently, we've just signed an MOU with the Matsu Borough, that's typical to a council in Australia, and ADEA, the Alaskan Industrial Development and Export Authority. And they do all the public-private partnership development projects in Alaska. And we just started the field work for phase two study of a road, which will go from the port of Anchorage and tie into the road system and the rail system and the port there, and then extend— the terminus will extend right to the Estelle Gold Project. So those studies, phase two of those studies, are ongoing as we speak. In addition to power, we have a number of options at our disposal. One would be, there's a gas pipeline going actually to the Donlin mine. The Donlin mine is to the west of us, 40 million ounce deposit. So that just goes to show you that 10 million ounce plus deposits are not uncommon in our area, which is what Corbell is shaping up to be. But anyway, so that pipeline will pass about 5 miles to the north of us, and we'll be able to tap into that potentially for power, natural gas. Also, there's some geothermal resources being developed to the south of us. There's a coal mine just to the east of us that's going into feasibility studies. And we've also looked at wind and solar. Solar not so much, but potentially wind, that we do have some windy. So power options, no issues there. Plenty of potential power sources and access with this ADEA road, which will come online. The schedule there is right around that 2023-2024 timeframe when we plan to have a decision to mine.
Christopher, it's a really good overview. I've got a couple of questions for you, if you don't mind, before we wrap up. And that is, like, Nova Minerals, I said at the beginning, it's kind of flown under the radar. It's great to hear you that there's so much that you've done here. Why do you think Alaska has suddenly popped out and is getting so much attention? Is it because of the strength in the gold price, or has this always been a region but the Australian market hasn't really taken notice? And is Alaska a good jurisdiction to work in from a sort of mining jurisdiction as far as government's concerned?
Absolutely. So, the Australians are coming up top as opposed to down under. The Australian, we on our license plates, our state motto is the last frontier. Yeah. And there's not many places in the world where you can really— it's really elephant country. These are just behemoth size deposits that people are finding here. And so Australia, which is with its rich history of mining and exploration and expertise, is searching throughout the world because Australian region is an older region, historic region in terms of mining. So these companies are going out to find the big ones. And Alaska is certainly, especially this Tintina Gold Province, is certainly a hot spot to that. All the geological fundamentals are there. In the past, it's been the last frontier, very, very remote. But over the last few decades, the road systems, the rail, so much infrastructure development and services, the service industry has just grown by leaps and bounds. And so in terms of the jurisdiction, We've already discussed the infrastructure, but let's talk about one of the issues in Australia, native title. We don't have those issues here, although we have a very proud and native population. That's all been sorted out with the Alaska Native Title Claim Pact that was already settled back in the 60s. And so some of the native corporations are some of the largest corporations in the state of Alaska. All the big buildings in Anchorage are the native corporations, very pro-business friendly, right? So we don't have those same, all that has already been resolved here. And so, but nevertheless, at Estelle Gold Project, we're on state land, so we don't have those type of issues anyway. The state, very pro-mining governor, very pro-mining state. Now that the investment from the Australians is coming in, they're getting all the support that we could possibly give. The population is yearning for these types of jobs, and and Australian money and investment is good here, and so people are catching on, and that's why you see the Aussie invasion that I alluded to earlier.
Now, Christopher, you've clearly got a non-Australian accent. So just before we finish up, what's the connection there? Have you got Aussie and a US citizenship, or how did you come across to do this particular role? Because I'm sure there's people out there going, hang on a minute, it's an Australian ASX listed company and he's got an American accent.
Right, well, you know, I went to Australia in the 90s. I actually went to get my master's degree at the Western Australia School of Mines. I was reborn and rebred in Kalgoorlie, Western Australia.
He's a WASM member, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, he's WASM.
right, WASM, that's right, WASM, Curtin University. And so that's my connection. I went there actually on a scholarship actually, and so I spent a lot of time. You know, I was working. I've worked in Alaska and Nevada. I was working in Nevada at the time in some of the gold fields out there. Very large heap leach operations as well. You know, that built companies like Barrick and Newmont. And so then I went to Australia, worked in the gold fields for many years, and then throughout Southeast Asia, Indonesia, Thailand, Laos. And you know, you always want to come home, and the opportunity presented itself to come home. And with the Australian friends and contacts and business relationships I had the opportunity. It's just chance of a lifetime to work in the mining industry back home. So I've come full circle, right? I've come full circle, and so that's my connection. Yeah.
Christopher Gitaisen from Nova Minerals, ASX code NVA. Thank you so much for talking to us today, and we look forward to ongoing news coming from the Nova Minerals.
Absolutely. Watch the news flow. It'll be hot and heavy. And thanks for having us today, Carrie, and hope to give you another update very soon.